Welcome to another episode of I'm Nano.
Putting the I in I am Nano, I am your host, Irfani.
And I am your other host, Monica.
And today, we will be talking about a lit update that is not technically published, but it is freely available on archive.org.
Yes. Yes, even though the archive.org is like spelled A-R-X-I-V. It's pronounced archive. It's so strange, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But cool, I chose this paper. Essentially, it is a preprint paper. So it means it hasn't gone through peer review with experts, but it's essentially available online for free for anyone to read and ask questions or comment for improvements.
Mm. Almost all of the scientific papers are self-archived on the archive repository before publication in a peer-reviewed journal, but what makes this paper so special is that we can't really wait until it's actually published.
Yeah, I know, right? I was too excited about reading it and talking about it even before it was peer-reviewed. It is under review, and that can take a while though, right, Irfani?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it can take months or, you know, even a year.
So I didn't want to wait that long. And So the title of this work is Roadmap for Unconventional Computing with Nanotechnology. And it has like 30 amazing, over 30, I would say, amazing contributors to this work. It's under review at the Nano Journal. So it'll be out relatively soon. It's about an 80-page PDF for those that want to check it out. I know, right? But basically, I went for this paper because of all the computing and AI and ChatGPT that's trending around. So I wanted to learn more on how AI and nanotech and this new era of computers is going on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really cool. You know, I mean, as also now that ChatGPT is not available by nanotechnology, but ChatGPT's GPT is an advanced language model developed by OpenAI, which is based on transformer architecture and is trained on a massive data set to generate human-like text. Then this training process does not really involve nanotechnology.
Yeah, I mean, it's not directly enabled or related, as you said, but nano has applications in various industries such as electronics, medicine, energy, like we've discussed in all our episodes. Yeah. But it's not a direct correlation to the development of language models like ChatGPT, just like you said. But I feel like our motto is to stay curious. So I feel I wouldn't be doing it justice if we didn't talk about this, because I'm actually so curious about it.
Right. No, that's a very good point. And nanotechnology itself is not responsible for generating AI, and it's not a direct requirement for AI development, but it is beneficial for developing AI systems that are more efficient and effective, such as ultra-low power electronics and high-density memory storage.
Totally. And advancements in nanotech and other fields have led to improvements in computing power and other hardware components. And those are essential for training advanced AI models, just like ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Now, the availability of powerful GPUs and TPUs, for example, that's something that it's enabled researchers and engineers to train larger and more complex models, just like every available ChatGPT, which leads to significant improvements in AI capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need stronger computers, so we're always going towards the direction. So this roadmap is essentially talking about computing with nanotech, which is, you know, pretty important, eh?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And what really got me was the paper started things off with talking about Moore's Law, which we've discussed before, that relates to transistors.
Yeah, yes. I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, for sure. And it basically said that with computational needs for artificial intelligence, there's these AI capabilities are growing at a rate 50 times faster than Moore's Law for electronics. That's a huge shocker. And so in more unconventional approaches to computing and signal processing will appear on the horizon, it says, and that this roadmap will aid in identifying future needs and challenges. Very poetic. I loved it.
Yeah, that sounds very, very, you know, exciting.
It does, yes.
Where the new world is going to take. And Moore's Law was basically transistor number on a chip that doubles every 2 years, give or take, which is a whole other problem that we talked about before because, you know, That's your thing, right, Monica? With microelectronics. But that was like a while back. I think the most recent episode was episode 46. So yeah, go ahead and listen to that one as well.
Yes, check that one out. But just think about it, right? 2 times in 2 years for transistors. Mm-hmm. But now they're saying it's 50 times that, which I guess would be 100 times the rate of progress in AI technologies.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just look how fast ChatGPT has evolved in a month of free usage, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's crazy and scary at the same time.
So scary. I think that's why the more we understand it, the better positioned we will be in case, you know, maybe something like Terminator does happen. I'm joking.
I mean, you know, that's a whole other discussion that can take place.
It's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it is going towards some unknown direction, but hopefully the good people are going to prevent that from happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. But back to the paper. It really helps put things into perspective on what kinds of materials we need to advance computing and what the challenges are going to be like in using these materials.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed the work has a bunch of, you know, subsections that are written kind of like a mini book chapter so that I can get an overview of what's happening in probabilistic computing with qubits, processing in memory, quantum memories and algorithms, computing with scars and spin waves, you know, all topics not in my field, but I can kind of, you know, get the gist of it. So I found it really helpful because I got brought up to date with the status of each one of them if I want to know more and I can look it up.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, skirmions, like with spin waves, all the physics stuff that is a little bit outside my
quantum stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort zone. And essentially, I would say it was just made publicly available a week or two ago, and it opens the floor to a lot of feedback. But I'm very interested in the neuromorphic computing and mem-resistant devices. So those couple sections on that were really interesting to see how 2D nanomaterials, which we've kind of talked about before, are going to help shape neuromorphic computing and mem-resistive devices, which, by the way, I just was second author on a paper on that. So go check that out. We're going to put that in the link in the description if you want to see. But it's a nice preamble for all of the components that you just mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll link to another book chapter on autonomous experimentation in nanotechnology. Autonomous experimentation, which is AE, represents a convergence, you know, of the automation and machine learning in a manner that accelerates the rate and value of our experiments. So it's really important for us, you know, scientists graduating into this world to know what's going on and kind of get up to date and educate ourselves widely.
Yes. And my one criticism of the work, though, would be to have a general intro and general conclusion for everything. You kind of just jump right in into like mini chaptered review papers, which did not work really well for the legibility of it. So it'll be nice if there was a little bit of a preamble and then like the postamble.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, also, I think it's a pretty cool, you know, lit update segment since it puts the link on preprints and technology roadmaps, and it's pretty relevant to AI that's being used right now that a lot of maybe people are kind of just glancing over, over its importance, but also might be like confused, oh, this must be that nanotech, you know, that's, you know, making something like this, and it's going to be scary for some people, but it'd be good to have that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to distinguish that nanotechnology, nanotech, the nano stuff doesn't directly give you your chatbots like ChatGPT and the AI, but it helps enable the technologies that can allow these to happen. So all the computers, all the electronics. And I think that we are basically as nanoscience communicators that we need to demystify things that like that to the general audience, you know, understand, you know, nanotech does not enable you to have ChatGPT directly, but it's an indirect link through all advances in nanotech. You can get faster technologies. And then by default, all this progress gets you your AI.
Yeah. I mean, nanotech can affect multiple, you know, fields. It's not just AI. It's one of the benefits that they can get from if you use, you know, developments, better developments in AI or better AI technologies.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of put together three really strong points on how nanotech can contribute to AI, and then by extension, language models like ChatGPT. So I'll start with number one. That's just like you, we kind of discussed at the start of the episode, hardware advancements. Mm-hmm. So nanotech has the potential to improve the hardware components that are used in AI systems. You can increase the density and reduce the power consumption of memory storage and processing units. And that can help AI systems be more efficient and effective.
Mm-hmm. And then also there's the new materials and devices. You know, nanotech could lead the development of new materials and devices that can be used in AI systems, such as nanoelectronics, nanosensors, and nanomaterials. And these can provide new opportunities for AI research and development.
Yes. And number three, we have improved data processing and storage through nanotech. Because nanotech has the potential to improve data processing and storage capabilities, which are critical for AI systems. So one example is the use of nanomaterials in data storage. That can lead us to devices with much higher storage capacities, mm-hmm. making it possible to store larger data sets, and that can be used for training AI models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are so many advancements that can be made with nanotech. I mean, it has the potential to improve AI in various fields, such as medicine, robotics, environmental monitoring. For example, the use of nanosensors in environmental monitoring can provide a more accurate data for any AI systems to analyze and leading to more effective and efficient decision-making.
Yes, decision-making is very critical for sure. Yeah, it's important to note that the relationship between nanotech and AI is still in its really very early stages, mm-hmm. and much research and development is needed to fully realize the potential of this interdisciplinary field, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is still very new, but it's very exciting and maybe a little terrifying, but you know what? I think there's a symbiotic relationship between AI and nanotech.
Yes.
And I think the next episode, actually, I'm going to be talking about a paper that is about nanomaterials that is assisted by AI to find materials.
Yeah,
so that is really exciting. Yeah. So, or maybe in the future as well, we should get an expert to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, I like what you said about it being symbiotic. Yeah. Well, we don't need to overrun organic intelligence with the synthetic mm-hmm. one. It can mm-hmm. both be working together simultaneously.
Yeah. So, nothing can replace us humans.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I hope you guys look forward to this. And that is all the Nano for today. Take care.
And stay curious.